It's a school that Fiona does, takes care of and stuff. It's in Liberia, Monrovia, and I don't know what to do.
She kind of had something planned out that she was going to say, and then so I think the pictures are throwing her off a little bit. So is that okay? Okay. I'll just flash through these pictures real quick, and then she can just kind of tell you a little bit briefly about what happened. But I'd like to say something real quick because I was really moved by the song that they sang. It was pretty amazing, and I don't even think I've shared this with anybody else. When we were in Boedu, which is a very remote village in the middle of nowhere, that was our final destination. We went to bed that night. I mean, no electricity, no water, no nothing, and we're staying in the chief's house of a fairly different view on religion, their area. So anyway, we're laying there, and we'd been asleep for maybe 4 hours, and all of a sudden, over this huge intercom, comes this guy just wailing and carrying on and going on and on and on, and he's basically calling all the Muslims to get cleaned up and to go to prayer. And so as we proceeded through the day, and they did this for 2 hours, by the way, very, very loud. And as we proceeded through the day and talked to some different people, they hadn't done that in probably, they said, at least 6 months. So it was a big threat to them. That's why they did that. So anyway. We're at the bookstore. This is like one of the biggest bookstores in Monrovia. And you can see it's pretty humble. So we've got all of us in there shopping for books, and they've got like 10 people trying to help us. It took us like 3 hours to get $400 worth of books. It was pretty crazy. This was a, right here was a project that Fiona did last year in Boedu. To give you a little bit of history, originally it was a feeding program for kids for Boedu to get the kids to come to school. Last year she went to Boedu, took farming equipment and rice starts. It was amazing to hear what these people did with that project. They ended up, 158 families participated in this. They no longer have to feed the kids at the school anymore. They actually did better than just feeding their children for 6 months. They actually ended up being able to sell 2 bags of rice per family, which brought in an income of $600 in 6 months, or $200 in 6 months for each family, which is really good considering the average income in Boedu is probably $50, would be pretty close. Do you want to tell them about the pastor? Yeah. Okay. This is the pastor in Boedu. He's really a neat guy. Anyway, long story short, I won't carry on too much about it, but we were able to take $1,400 cash with us on top of taking the 460 uniforms. We couldn't take any more physically with us because of weight, so we took cash. We were able to buy school supplies and whatnot. Anyway, it's hard to spend that much money in Monrovia in one day because it takes forever to buy anything, and your money goes a long ways. So we ended up, when we got to Boedu, we had $300 left. Not quite sure what we were going to do with it.
With the money, when we bought 100 slates and chalk, and we also bought 2 soccer balls. We went back to the school to tell the pastor that we had got it, and we had $200 left. The pastor pulled us aside and asked for prayer because he'd had a hernia for 2 years, and we asked him how much it was going to be, and he said $200. So we gave him the $200, and that kind of shows that God has a plan for every bit of money that we brought. When we were giving out the uniforms, it was really fun. When we got there, we set up all the stuff on the table, and seeing all the little kids coming out with maybe one shoe, if they're lucky, that was definitely overwhelming, seeing that, and there was a lot of them. And it seemed once we would get close to be done, there would be other kids coming, even if they didn't go to the school. I liked seeing, like, when they got all their stuff, they ended up getting a copybook, a pencil. We got them flip-flops and a uniform, and we also got them books for their classroom. It was really cool for me because when you gave them their uniform, they would literally go off to the side and change into their uniform. And I liked seeing them all go back into the corner in their blue and yellow.
So you can imagine what it looked like walking into this school and about 460 kids, maybe some more. It brought in the mass of everybody. All the parents showed up. Anybody that knew anything about it was coming there. So it was quite the busy afternoon. And it was really cool to see when we first started, you know, looking out. It'd be like looking out here and seeing you guys all like this, and then all of a sudden everybody's wearing blue and yellow. It was actually pretty moving. I wanted to point out one thing. I just spotted it. Do you see the little girl with her thumbs up that does not have the uniform on? That isn't because she didn't get a uniform. She felt like she was not clean enough to put the uniform on, so she wanted to take it home and get clean before she put it on. So I thought that was pretty sweet. So anyway, she's going to be here doing a little slideshow showing all of her pictures and talking about them a little bit more thoroughly next Sunday evening.
Real quick before we go back into some time of song, you know, some people look at it and go, okay, well, that's done. It's not done. It's just beginning. It really is. And you can be praying for them, praying for that school. As it was shared, I mean, the Muslim community immediately picked up as they entered into town. That wasn't coincidence. That wasn't an accident. Be praying for those kids, the supplies that are there, that the Lord reaches in and does something. He's doing something. And I want to say, you are a part of that. I don't know. Sometimes we don't realize that when it comes to missions. We go, yeah, they're doing it. Oh, you're doing it. Okay, God's doing it. You're a part of that. And keep being a part of that. Keep praying. The creator of the universe, I mean, this is whom you just sang to. The creator of the universe. And that when it comes to you, your life, where did your life begin? Well, it began before it all. He had you in mind. As the Spirit hovered over the water, the Father had you in His mind that He would send His Son for you at that time. Do you know how incredible that is? I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to bring Debbie up, and Debbie's going to share with you what's going on at the pregnancy center in Lebanon. And I hope that this morning that you will be challenged with asking one simple question. What's my role? What am I to do? Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son. We thank you so much. So much for the opportunity, Lord, it is to worship you. Father, I pray that this morning would be a morning that, Lord, that would glorify you in all things. And Father, we do uphold life. And Father, I pray that we consider life as something so precious. We consider life the way, Lord, the way that you consider it. So precious that you would send your Son. We thank you for that. We thank you for this time. Amen. Debbie?
Good morning. If we could just pray one more time. I'm prompted by God to pray for a girl we had in on Thursday that was 15 years old and very extremely abortion-minded. And every once in a while, God just brings people to my heart that we need to pray for. And I'm not sure why it has to be right now, but it is. So let's pray. Father God, you created the child within this child's womb. And you called this child, both of them, to come forth and to hear about you and to live life. And I pray a hedge of protection around this young girl, her mind, her body, her soul, her spirit. Lord, don't let the enemy get into her mind and convince her what is a lie. God, I pray that you protect this young baby. Protect this young child, Lord, and let it live, grow up to live and know of you. We commit this girl to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It is an absolute pleasure to be here today. I don't think I've been here for a couple years. We've been really busy, as you will see from what I have to say here today, but I miss being out and seeing all your faces. Sometimes when it on our side of it, it feels like we're by ourselves, but we know you're all out there, and it's just good to see you. So I'm really excited to share with you what the Lord has done with PAC over the last 2 years. If you have Bibles, I'm not sure if you're a Bible church. Some churches don't bring Bibles, some do. Turn to Isaiah 61. You know, 24 years ago, the Lord called me into this ministry, to create this ministry, and it was based on Isaiah 61. So it's good to go back and say, what was it again, Lord, that you asked us to do? What is it that PAC is all about? So I'll read Isaiah 61, says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release of the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair, that they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, that they will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the places long devastated, renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations." And if you skip down to verse 7, it says, "Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion." So I want you to keep that scripture in mind as we go through and talk about what we were really called to do and what God's done with that. So, you know, I know there's a lot of politics that are going on in the issue of abortion now. There's a lot out there. I know you guys have talked about it. But many times I think that when God looks at this issue of abortion, he's grieved over the fact that it has become a political issue. Because I'm going to need a glass of water, if anybody could grab that for me. Because when it really comes down to it, I believe God is all about one thing. And let's see if I can do this right. And that's people. He isn't Republican or Democrat. He's not concerned about what happens in the elections. He's concerned about people. And what we were called to do is talk to people who have choices to make. And we see girls between the age of 10 and 65 is our range. Most of them are between 12 and 32, 33 or so. Thank you so much. That's a good kid there. But they're people who have choices to make. Now, every day, in and out, we all make choices, right? What to wear, where to go, what to eat, what to do for the day, what scripture to read. But we deal with people who have life and death decisions to make. Now, I don't know how many of you are parents of 10-year-olds or 12-year-olds or 15-year-olds or 17-year-olds, but they don't make really good decisions. A lot of them don't know what to wear, what to eat, let alone whether or not to make the decision for life. And so we work on a daily basis with girls like this who are very confused. They're people who need a friend. That's the thing that you have to keep in mind about. If I was to sum out, what is PAC really all about? It's about us getting out of our church and going to a place where people need to hear what the truth is and they need a friend. And so when you come and you volunteer at PAC, you can ask Denise, you get to be friends with the girls. You get to commit to saying to them, "I don't know how this is going to work out, but I promise you one thing, I will teach you the truth and I will be your friend." Because they need to hear the truth. The truth will set them free. It really will. And more than anything else, they need to be empowered to make good choices. Because these are kids. They're scared to death to tell their parents. They're scared to death to ask for help because they do not want someone to tell them what to do and force them to do something, but they can be empowered. There's a difference between forcing and empowering. Empowering says to you, I'm going to give you all the facts, and I'm going to help you, but I am not going to force you to see my viewpoint. So we empower them to make good choices. And more than anything else, these people need the peace of God. That young 15-year-old girl that came and saw us on Thursday, she is in torment. You do not understand. They come to us and they are absolutely scared spitless. They're in torment because they don't know what to do. Interestingly enough, 50% of the girls that come and see us have a religious background. So this is what the torment is. I know I did wrong. I know what the truth is, but I cannot go through with this. I just can't. I can't tell my mom. I can't tell my dad. I can't tell my family. I can't tell my church. So it's torment. And what they need above everything else is the peace of God, really. So that's why we're there. So it's all about people. That's what God's about. People, you, big people, little people, red people, yellow people, black people, white people, we see them all. They're all precious in His sight, and they're all created in the image of God. And they are created to live life and live it to its fullest. That precious baby that 15-year-old girl is carrying deserves the right to live life to its fullest. And God has called us as a body of believers to give that child the gift of life, because there is nothing greater. When we go to meet our Maker, there is nothing greater that you can do than to say, I gave this person life, or I helped this person choose life, or I supported life, whatever it is. And God has called us to defend those innocent. I want to ask you a question. Who, besides believers, will speak to these girls the truth? Where can they go for the truth? Where do they go? Do they flock into your church? Do they come in droves? They don't. Because they won't come here. They don't understand what you are and who you are and what you believe. But they do come into our doors. And then now I'm going to talk to you about how did God touch us. So, we got to speak up for those who do not speak for themselves, because that little baby in her womb can't speak for itself, you know? So how have we done speaking up for innocent children? As a church, who God called? Did God call you guys? Is God calling you, Pastor, to speak up for the innocent? You have to make a decision in today's world. You either speak up for the innocent or you bury your head in the sand. I wish it would be easy to bury your head in the sand. We'd all be there, right? But we can't do that. That's not what God's called us to do. Because if you read Isaiah 61, it says, bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. So, all the time, all the effort. How long have I been coming, B, to your church to talk about what we're doing? How many years? Well, we've been in business 23 years. I think I've been here since close to the beginning. So if you add up all the hours, all the money, all the prayers, all the time that we all put together, was it worth it? Well, let's look and see. Has God been with us? That's my question. So first of all, I want to ask you this. I don't know if you're a poll-taking church, but I'll just go for it. How many of you believe in the last 23 years there's been a decrease in abortion across the United States? Raise your hand if you believe there's been a decrease. Okay, how many of you believe there's been an increase in abortion over the last 25 years? The majority. Well, you are going to be shocked, but over the last 25 years, there's been a decrease in abortion across the United States, 25%. You were right. 25% decrease in abortion. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, why is it there was only one or two that knew that? Why did we all believe there was an increase? Okay, but there's a point that I'm trying to get you to see, is the reason we thought that is because that's what the media wants us to think. Because let me just ask you, when God calls people into war, what is his most effective tool? Discouragement, right? If we were going into war, and God the Father, Jesus, was right here going, come on, come on, keep going, you're winning, what would we do? We would go for it. But if Satan's right there going, oh, you're losing, everything you've done is for naught, what do? We go, oh, and we become fearful and timid and, right? Okay, so I want to break that off us right now. Because the truth is that everything this church has put into saving lives, God is honoring. 25% decrease across the United States. Okay? So then my mind said, well, how are we doing? Oh, there you go. Okay, I want you to read that. Oregon abortion trend since 1989. What's it say? 34% decrease in abortion. Well, there should be some amens there, I'm sorry. Hello. That's phenomenal, right there. Oregon is the most liberal state in all 50 states when it comes to abortion. The most liberal. Up in Portland, they have the chemical abortion, RU486. Many states have outlawed that. Oregon promotes it. We are the most liberal, and we had 34% decrease in abortion, even higher than the national average. Okay, so that's right, keep going. This is what I want to do. Woohoo! But I'm radical. So how about Linn County? That's where God planted us, right? Do y'all live in Linn County? Do we all worship in Linn County? Do we all want Linn County to change? Have we all invested in Linn County? So how'd we do in Linn County? If I don't hear an amen here. Oh my goodness, 43% decrease. What does that do to you? Does that make you want to go, let's go? Because you know what number that should be? 100%. That's where my heart goes. My goodness, I think God is in heaven saying, well done, good and faithful servants. But I don't think he's saying, sit down. I think he's saying, there's still more babies out there. The numbers, how this relates is when we started, and this isn't exact, so just give me a little leeway here, but there was a little over 450 babies aborted in 1989, and there was 180 now. So that's kind of what that looks like. So how many should we go out and try to reach? 180, because I want it to be 100%. I actually have a vision, and watch out, church, because it's big. I believe that God has told us to pray for an abortion county, abortion-free Linn County. And when I started, God started working on my heart, and then I was going, yeah, right. You're talking about liberal, 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 liberal. Did I happen to mention liberal Linn County, Oregon? I went and spoke at a pregnancy center in Boone, North Carolina. It's part of the Bible Belt. This will amaze you. This big center they had there saw one abortion-minded girl in the whole year. I was like, one? And she said, so I went and looked up, their county is as big as Polk County and what's the two counties at Salem? Marion County. That's how big their county is. They had 99 abortions compared to Polk and Marion County had over 800 abortions. That's the difference, Bible Belt versus Oregon. So when I say the most liberal, that's what I'm talking about. It's amazing. So how's PAC done? This number should make you get up and jump. You don't get up and jump on this one. So what is our mission? What is our mission? B, what's our mission? What do we pray for every day? Zero abortions, but we pray that those abortion-minded patients come into PAC. Every single day you pray, Lord, send in the girl that right now needs to hear the truth and be empowered to make the right choices and find the peace of God. So since June of 2009 to June of 2011, I asked the Lord, how are we doing? 103% increase in abortion-minded girls in 2 years? That's a double portion. Want me to read it again? Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Okay, how about the rest of PAC? The parenting classes. Wow. We have so many kids coming for parenting. Denise, are you ever there when it's class time? It's crazy. It's insane. We don't have enough room. We have 6 different classes that we offer at different times because we can't fit any more in the room. We have a couples class. We have parenting classes for single moms. We have bonding with baby. We have prenatal classes. I can't even keep up with them all. And we started something this last June called mentoring. And 29 kids out of those parenting classes said, I want to be mentored. And we said, yeah, but there's going to be regulations. You have to meet one-on-one with your mentor every week for a year. The first meeting, 6 kids got saved. One got saved last week in mentoring class. Do you know why? Because we're bringing the body of Christ, you and what God has planted in your heart, and we're giving you your harvest. We're giving you a young man that says, I want to learn how to be a dad. I don't know how to be a dad. And they're getting saved. Because the truth is, unless they find the Holy Spirit, the peace of God cannot reign. When they walk in the door in the medical clinic, I have 1 hour to give them everything I can give them. We talk about God, but the truth is we're trying to save that baby. It's when they come to parenting classes and we have a one-on-one relationship with them that we're able to give them the gospel. So should we keep going? Let me read you something that blessed my heart. So how many of you are on our email prayer blast? So Wilma, you get our email things that says pray, right? Okay, so this is the testimony of a girl you prayed for a year ago, okay? This is what she says. So she called me, and she was moving out of town, and she said, I just wanted to tell you some things, Debbie. And while she was talking, I wrote down her testimony. I made a mistake. I wanted to go back in time so bad. In the beginning, I was in denial. I even thought to myself, maybe I have cancer. I wanted to be anything but pregnant. I wanted my life back. I didn't really believe in abortion, but I just could not be pregnant. Actually, I went to church, and I know abortion is wrong, but I didn't want to have a baby. I tried to pretend the symptoms weren't there. This just could not be happening to me. Finally, I got up the nerve to call PAC. I talked to the lady there and asked her a lot of questions. She made an appointment for me to come in and get a pregnancy test, but I chickened out. I just couldn't face knowing the truth. Then it was Christmas and they were closed. I felt like a trapped animal. Then after Christmas break, that lady from PAC called me back and asked me if I was in the same situation, and I said yes. She talked and talked to me, and I finally got up the nerve to come in, but I came in the back door because I was so ashamed of myself. I don't remember much about that appointment except that I saw my baby on that ultrasound monitor. It made me realize it was a baby. There were fingers, there were toes. I was so scared. Actually, my baby had a beating heart. I was 22 weeks along. I kept saying over and over, oh no, oh no. I can't have a baby. I can't have a baby. I have no one to help me. And what she meant by that is her mom had passed away and her dad was a methamphetamine addict, so she had no one. I felt so alone. I was so very, very scared. More scared than I have ever been in my whole life. I remember the ladies at PAC. They were like moms to me. I needed a mom more then than I have ever needed a mom. They helped me think about my options, and they told me they would never leave me. I didn't know anything about my options. The only thing I knew about adoption was what was in the movies, and that was all negative. After I saw my baby on that ultrasound screen, I just couldn't have an abortion. But I couldn't have a baby either. I had nowhere to live, literally. She was homeless, and they took me in. We have a maternity home, so she lived in our maternity home. They told me over and over, do not panic. God will meet you. Actually, in the maternity home, she came to rededicate her life back to the Lord. They talked and talked to me. They were totally supportive. Anything I needed, they found a way somehow for it to happen. They taught me about my options. They helped me make the best choice for me. There was nothing that they didn't do for me. They were there for me the whole way. I gave birth to a beautiful baby girl. I am so grateful that she is alive. I feel so happy that I didn't have an abortion, and I am totally at peace. And adoption, it's nothing like they say in the movies. Adoption was the best option for me, and I cannot tell you how glad I am that I didn't have to have an abortion. My baby has two good parents and a great life. Her parents and I have an awesome relationship. I knew I made the right decision the first time I saw my baby. I looked at her, I looked at them, and I just knew I'd made the right decision. I feel proud of myself for sacrificing 9 months of my life to give my daughter life. I'm happy for Tim and Rochelle. I'm happy for my baby Ava, and I'm happy for me. Sometimes I can't even believe I had a baby. I feel amazed, and it's crazy because I feel completely at peace. I want to thank every single person that put in money, that gave time for me to have a place to go. I don't know who you are, but thank you for caring about me without even knowing me. In the end, I know this. I feel with all my heart I chose the right thing. I have never regretted my decision, and I have deep peace. And for all the girls out there that are in my situation, trust me, abortion is not your only option. So I look at this story from Sarah and say, thank you, God. Every bit of what we did was worth it, every bit of it. I've asked the Lord several times how many of you have ever fought in a war? So did you ever have times where you got weary and just went, I don't want to be here. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of fighting for life. I get tired. I work in an environment where girls come in and they don't like us and they don't want what we have to say because they want it just to go away. Like Sarah said, they just want it to go away. So sometimes I get tired, and the Lord is always faithful to give me the bread of life for me to keep going on. So this is my bread. Over the last year, have we done, God? Okay, these statistics are phenomenal. We should keep going, but how are we doing? What do the numbers actually mean? So over the last year, in other words, in the year 2011, we increased the number of people using our services by 30%. 15% in the medical clinic and 15% in the resource center. Now let me just tell you a little bit about the medical clinic. How many of you knew that we've had a medical clinic for 10 years? We had an ultrasound, right? Okay. So one thing that God opened up for us to do this year is become the first accredited pro-life medical clinic in the nation. And at the time when that came about, I didn't know that's what we would be. I didn't know what it would entail. But the reason that you see this increase is because we became the first accredited medical clinic in the nation. And girls want professional medical care. So that's what we are. Why did we do that? Why did we spend $20,000 to become accredited? Because that's our harvest. That's the girls we want to bring in. We want more abortion-minded girls. So when it says that 15% more clients, so how many does that mean? Anybody have a guess how many client visits we had? In other words, how many services we provided? What would you guess? Okay, we're talking about Lebanon and Little Lynn County, right? 100? 200? Actually, 2,000 in 1 year. We've helped over 25,000 girls in the last 23 years. That's unbelievable. That's God saying, well done, good and faithful servant. So let's talk about abortion-minded girls. Last year, in 2010, we had 194 abortion-minded girls walk in our door. I'm talking abortion on their way to the abortion clinic, 194 in 2010. That's amazing, isn't it? In 2011, 292. We increased 100 abortion-minded girls in 1 year. Now, Wilma, how often do you get emails from us? Twice a week? Sometimes every day a week. Sometimes it skips a week. Why? Because we saw 300, just 8 short of 300 girls that walked in our door and said, I'm on my way to the abortion clinic. And I've had people who are on the email prayer list say, you keep sending these, it's driving me nuts. You know, there's more and more and more. And I said, yeah, you should be on our end of it. So 292 abortion-minded girls. Now this gets a little bit confusing, so hold with me. When a girl walks in the door, we serve her and teach her about abortion before we ever know whether she's positive or negative. Right, Denise? We don't do the test for a while. Why do we do that? A girl comes in and she says, I'm going to have an abortion. She fills out all our paperwork. We don't even know if she's positive or negative, but we keep counseling her. Why? Because even if she's negative, the next time she's positive, if she's abortion-minded, she may not come back and see us. So I have to change her heart regardless if she's positive or negative, correct? Okay, does that make sense? So out of the 292 that were abortion-minded, 177 of them were positive. So those are what you would call the hot ones, positive, abortion-minded, on their way to the abortion clinic. Those are the ones that your pastor in his heart would lay his life down to try and change their minds, correct, Mike? 177 of them in 1 year. So how did we do? How did God do? How did Wilma's prayers do? How did Denise's talking do to these girls? Out of 177, 163 of them changed their mind. That's 93%. That is the oil that God gave me to keep going on. So let me just talk a little bit about where do we go from here. Because my heart doesn't say slow down. My heart says go on. I just read in the book of Philippians where it says forget what's behind. It's hard to do, God. That's pretty impressive. Forget what's behind and strain towards the future. Not just kind of lollygag around, strain towards the future. So that's what you're going to see me doing, straining to the towards the future of saving lives in Linn County. So we sat down in the first part of January and said, Lord, what do you want us to do this year? Last year was a banner year. We changed our entire way we serve girls. We became an accredited medical clinic. We held the silver ring thing, had 1,000 kids at that abstinence seminar. It was God blessed. God blessed our community. So where do you go from that? And this is what he said. Number one, the negative test clients. They come in, they're negative, they go out. They don't change their patterns. They come in, they're negative, they go out. I want to reach those kids. So we're going to do two things. Number one, we're going to start doing STD testing and treatment. We're going to step off this platform into the unknown and start going after the negative test client. Number two, we're going to hold the Silver Ring thing again. How many teenagers or kids or parents went to the Silver Ring thing last year? Oh, what happened to you all? The Silver Ring thing is an abstinence seminar for kids. Out of the 1,000 kids that were there, 650 made an abstinence commitment, a purity commitment. That's amazing. Out of 1,000 kids, 200 of them got saved that night. Wow. How many things have you all been to in Linn County where 1,000 kids came together for any one event? Not many. And to bring God the glory, it is April 11th. It's $5 a person. Do everything you can to bring every person you know. There's a session for parents. There's a session for kids. I think it's from 6, it's either 7 to 9. We were going to pass out some things. But anyway, it was phenomenal because we are going to reach the abortion-minded girls. What do you mean, Debbie? Well, let me explain this to you. This story I just read of Sarah, she grew up in the church. Why was abortion an option for her? Because abstinence failed. So I'm going to start preaching abstinence. We are going to go out and take the land that the Lord gave us, which is called Linn County. The other thing that I'm really excited about is that I believe it's time to start showing a presence in every community in Linn County. Scio, Oregon, do you know that place? Staten, Brownsville, Harrisburg, Sweet Home, Scio, Staten. So how do we get here? For years and years and years, I've tried to figure out how to get here. We can't, you and I cannot afford for us to have an office like what we have in Lebanon in every one of those towns. So how do we get here? And last year, the Lord brought the answer. It's called a mobile clinic. So what we want to do is we want to get a RV, convert it to a medical clinic, and be here somewhere. Every single week, we are here to serve those girls that are from Scio. On Mondays, we're at Scio, and Tuesday, we're in Brownsville. So how do we get to that point? How do we do that? What do you think, Pastor? We just have to do it. And that's what we're going to do this year. So if it's something, where's my ushers? You can pass out the, ushers can pass out the things. We are going to do it. If God's saying to you, I want to be on the team that helps you bring that to Scio, Oregon, you let your pastor know. And we're going to start meeting and praying and asking God, please help us open this up. Because how are we going to become an abortion-free Linn County if we don't reach every single town? How are we going to do it? We can't. So in closing, while they're passing those out, advance here. Oh, just for your information, the 2 months that the most abortions are performed in is January and October. Why is that? Come on. Gotta think like kids. January is because of Christmas break, and October is because they just finished summer break. So lock your kids up on Christmas and summer. God's not done with us. There's babies to be saved. God has called us, Deuteronomy 1:6, break camp in advance and believe by faith. Do you guys have enough faith to believe that God can open the opportunity for a mobile clinic? Do you have enough faith to believe for that? That's where I'm working at. God, that's like huge to me. I'm not sure. Okay, God, what's God called me to do? Believe by faith. He will take care of the rest. He's called us to defend the innocent in Lebanon, in Linn County, in Oregon, America, and the world. Because we became the first medical clinic in the nation, I'm now mentoring centers across the nation to become the first, become medical clinics. In the last 6 months, we have 13 centers becoming accredited. That's phenomenal. We also have adopted a center in Budapest, Hungary, So a portion of every dollar that you give goes to supporting a pro-life center. Actually, it's with YWAM in Budapest. We must speak abstinence. Again, they're passing out the things about the silver ring thing. The end. So in the end, this is what I live by, is that I look at all of us. I see the body of Christ in one. I don't see separate churches. I see us as one, united in God. In Philippians, it talks more about how we need to be in unity. So this is where we need to go, churches. In unity, we need to say, God, you have abundantly blessed us. You have given us the desires of our hearts. If you could hold each one of those 166 babies that were saved, you would look at this differently. They're numbers to you now, to me, they're people, because we see them. But if we could grasp that we're winning, not losing, if we could grasp that the amount, every dollar you invest, every hour you volunteer makes a difference and saves a life, we would be unstoppable, church. We would, because there's an army of people. And the message that I wanted to bring to you today is the world is getting worse and worse. Just look outside. And the body of Christ needs to be more and more pushing towards the goal. Do not live in the past. Live in the future. Keep pushing. And we're winning. Where else in this world could you get 110% return on your investment except for the body of Christ? Nowhere else. So the Lord's saying, Debbie, don't get tired. Church, don't get tired. Don't lose your focus. Don't lose your vision. Let's make a difference. And let's see what happens in 2012. God bless you.
So I asked you the question at the beginning. What are you going to do? What's your role? And I'm going to tell you right now, and I know this might come across very harsh, and I haven't said this in a while. You're going to have to deal with it. You need to get involved. At bare minimum, get on your knees. You need to get involved. I would ask the question, this is not just women, how are you going to get involved? Men, how are you going to get involved? If you're not familiar with the whole entire process, it takes two to get to that spot. Men, what are you going to do? Because there are some boys out there who need men to come alongside them. Project Mother's Day is an opportunity to reach out. It's just one way of a million. Debbie talked about a mobile clinic. You know, every month or so, the Red Cross rolls in here, steals everybody's blood, and I don't come to church that day. I hate needles. But it's a good thing to see that thing out there, that big old van. I want to see the mobile clinic sitting out in our parking lot. That's what I want to see. I want to see us be a part of that. I you know my heart. I don't think I can say it any more clearly. It's the whole reason I asked Debbie to come here, because I believe in what she's doing. You understand, I grew up in Portland. We didn't have anything like that, nothing close to it. Most alternative centers were just simply there to tell somebody, don't have an abortion. And that's kind of all they could do. Do you know what's built right next to my junior high in Portland? A full-functioning Planned Parenthood abortion clinic. That's what's next to my junior high, not PAC. You got to get involved. And so I can't say that enough. You got to get involved. You know, I love the fact that in the big picture of the battle, you can say we're winning, but the reality is, even if there's just one abortion in one county, that's one too many. It's one too many. Let's pray. We come in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and Father, we ask you that you would send your Spirit in such a way that just empowers us to understand what it is that you are doing, that we would be able to express the love that is given through your Son and his death and his life. We want to see we want to see the end of abortion. It's not a choice. It should never be a choice. You are the author and perfecter of life, and I ask that you would just press upon in our hearts that we would see life the way that you see it, that we would love life the way that you love life. And Father, I am asking for great blessings upon PAC. I'm asking that, Lord, this vision of a mobile center, Lord, I'm praying that this happens sooner than we can even think about it. We need it. Father, right now I know that there are girls, there are guys. They're out there and they're pondering this decision and they're trying to figure out where to go. Lord, intervene. Press them towards the center. Press them towards somebody who will take them to the center. And for the girl that Debbie prayed for at the beginning, Father, please let her know you love her. We pray all of this in the power of who you are. Amen. Please make sure that if you haven't got signed up for small group, do that. Leaders, hosts, I really need to see you just real quick.